good to see this number out this evening for our evening worship service. Hopefully we can look at some things from the scriptures this evening that'll be beneficial to all of us. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about how to have peace of mind. First of all, we might ask, is this something that is possible? Can we have real peace of mind? I think there are several passages in the scriptures that tell us that we can. And our basic text this evening will come from the fourth chapter of Philippians, so you might turn there with me. I want to read verse 7 to start with. We'll look at the rest of the text as we go. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension or all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." So I believe we can see that there is this great peace that is almost uncomprehendable that we can have through obedience to Jesus Christ if we'll just take hold of it. But many times we find ourselves saying, well, I just don't have peace of mind. Or we might say, if I can just get through this particular problem or over this hurdle in my life, I'll finally have peace of mind. And we many times admit that we just don't have peace of mind. So why is it maybe that we don't have peace of mind? I think part of the answer is that we kind of set ourselves up in life for disappointment and frustration. We define what's going to make us happy or what will give us peace by earthly things, and then we become frustrated with these things of this life, and we don't have peace of mind. You know, when we go through high school when we're young, we get that diploma, and then we say, well, I want to go on and get some more education, get a college degree. And we say, well, if I can just get that degree and get started on the right track, well, I'll have peace of mind then. And then later we say, well, I want to get married and settle down and start a family. And so we say, if I can just find that mate that's right for me, then I'll be set, I'll be happy, I'll be on my way, I'll have some peace of mind then. But then in our middle of our lives, many times we say, well, if I could just achieve a certain level in my career or a certain position or a certain income situation, then I would do away with so many problems in my life and I could finally have peace of mind. And later in our lives, we say, well, I just want to enjoy my retirement. I've worked hard all my life, and I want to rest. I want to enjoy a good retirement and be able to do some things I want to do and travel and visit friends and so on. And we say, I want to enjoy my grandchildren and watch them grow up and these different things. But what happens to us many times? How many of us go through life with all these things falling in line real well so that we achieve this happiness or peace of mind that we want? Well, it doesn't happen that way, and we become frustrated. And I think the problem there is that we define what is going to make us happy by things on this earth, and then we become frustrated and don't have the peace that Jesus offers us. We forget to concentrate on the spiritual aspects of our existence and to look ahead toward the future, our final home in heaven. A good passage to point this out is James, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 13. Here it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." We need to realize that this life on earth and all its problems are here and gone just like the snap of our fingers. And that if we concentrate on our real home, which is in heaven, and remember that we're just passing through here for a few years, then we can begin to put the worldly problems aside and receive the peace that comes from knowing that we're going to spend all eternity with God in heaven. So what do we need to do then in our lives? Well, I think we need to make some adjustments in our attitude and the way we look at things. This is what Paul did in our text in the fourth chapter of Philippians here, verse 11. Paul says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." We've looked at this verse many times in different ways. But what I'm wanting to look at tonight is the first part there where he says, I have learned to be content. Paul wasn't born this way just to be content with whatever happened to him, but he learned to be content with any circumstance he was in and to be at peace. And we need to do the same thing. You know, Paul could even sit in a jail cell with his hands and feet in stocks and be content and be at peace because he was thinking about spiritual things, even singing hymns at times and thinking about his home in heaven that he would receive someday. And we sing about this often in some of our songs. One that comes to mind is the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And we sing a line in that song, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And we need to make some adjustments in our lives if we need to so that we can really believe what we're singing there. So I think there's some steps that we need to take in our lives to have peace of mind, some things that we need to remove from our lives and some things we need to add to our lives. The first thing I want to suggest that we need to remove is sin. In the 48th chapter of Isaiah, verse 22, it says, there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. And we're not talking about never committing a sin and becoming perfect. We're not going to reach total perfection. But we're not going to have peace of mind if we have any continuing sin or ongoing sin in our lives. If we committed a sin last week and we committed it this week and we know we're going to commit the same sin next week, then that's a continuing sin that's going to keep us from inheriting salvation because that's an unrepented of sin. If we know we're going to do it next week, the same sin, then we're not truly repentant of it. And as long as there's something like that in our lives, we're not going to have peace of mind because we know that we know what the Scripture says about sin and repentance. And when we put our heads down on our pillow at night, if there's that kind of sin in our lives, we're going to feel the guilt of that sin, and we're not going to have peace of mind. So the first thing we need to do is make sure that we don't have that kind of sin in our lives. Also, along the same line, in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, or I will give you peace. He offers this peace, and he says to come to him. But we know from other scriptures that there's things that we have to do to receive his rest or his peace. And one of those important things is repentance. We're never going to be able to have peace of mind unless we repent of our sin. Another thing we need to eliminate from our lives to have peace of mind is worry. We become so worried about the things of this life that we can't enjoy the peace that Jesus offers us sometimes. Matthew 6:25 gives a good example of this. Turn and read that. Matthew 6, starting in 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then on down in verse 31, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think the key verse here is verse 33. If we'll be less concerned about the things of this life and all these things that get us upset and frustrate us and concentrate on the kingdom of God and things spiritual, then we'll have much less worry and we'll be able to have peace of mind. Another example is that of Jesus in Luke 22, the 42nd verse. Jesus was speaking just before his crucifixion where he prayed to the Father. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, if anybody ever had something to worry about, it was Jesus. you can imagine yourself in his shoes, knowing that the next day you were going to be tortured to death for something that you didn't do, that would be something to worry about. And Jesus was in the flesh just like us. He had the same anxieties about something like that that we would have. But what did he do? Well, he went to the Father in prayer, and he asked the Father for his help and said, if there's some way for this to be removed, that I not have to go through it, then that's what he was praying for. But then he said, nevertheless, whatever your will is in the matter, I'll accept that. If we can develop that same kind of attitude, we can remove a lot of worries from our lives. Another thing that we need to get out of our lives to have peace of mind is fear. Our belief in God and in his promises should be strong enough to eliminate fear, even the fear of death. Jesus connects peace and removing fear in John 14, verse 27. Here he makes the statement, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And also in the 12th chapter of Luke, we're told why we shouldn't fear. In the 12th chapter of Luke, starting in verse 4, it says, "But I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." I believe what it's saying here is that we shouldn't be concerned with all these things that we're afraid of here on the earth. We should put our trust in God and overcome those fears. But if we want something to be afraid about, we should be afraid about our eternal destiny. We should be concerned about getting our lives in the position where we'll go to heaven when we die instead of hell. That's what we should be concentrating on. And if we instead concentrate on all these problems that we have in this life, we're not going to have that peace of mind that's offered to us. Also in Matthew 8, verse 26, this was when Jesus was out in a boat on the water and the storm came up. And the other people on the boat thought they were going to die and began complaining about the situation. And Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why are you so fearful?" They had not learned the lesson of trusting in Jesus yet, and they were of little faith. And the same as for us today, the more faith that we have in Jesus and the more trust we put in him, the more peace of mind we'll have, because we'll eliminate those fears from our lives. There's also some things that we need to add to our lives to have peace of mind. The first thing we need to do is trust in God. The more we trust in God, the fewer fears and worries and doubts we'll have. In 1 Peter 5, 7, Peter says that we should cast our cares upon God. And in our text tonight, in Philippians 4, go back to that, Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." I think this is one of the crucial things that we need to understand. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God." We can take anything that we worry about and pray to God about it. Now, it's not that we can just not do anything ourselves and ask God to do everything, but once we've done what we can, those things that we can't affect, we need to take them to God in prayer and cast them on him, and then believe that he will take care of us. That's another point that we need to add to our lives. We need to really believe in the power of prayer. In 1 Peter 3:12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers." So if we really believe this, this can bring us a great amount of peace. Because if you think about it, if we really believe in the power of prayer, we can take the troubles and worries that we have in this life, instead of letting them get us down, go to God in prayer and have the being that created the whole universe hear what we have to say. And we can have great peace in knowing that the God of heaven knows my problems now, and I can put them in his hands. And we need to believe that he'll answer our prayers. And we need to understand that if the answer is something that we don't want to hear, or what we wouldn't prefer, that we need to be like Paul and be content with that, whatever the circumstance is. Another thing that we need to add to our lives is we need to have some faith in ourselves. The Bible talks about this in several places. If we have some faith in ourselves, we can accomplish what God would have us to do and have some peace of mind. In our text here, Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, it doesn't say, I will receive all things through Christ who strengthens me without doing anything. It says, I can do. There's something we have to do on our part, and then we can call upon God to do his part. The best way of showing this, I think, is in Matthew 25, the story of the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30, we won't read all that, but you remember the parable here where the servant that had five talents given to him went out and used them wisely and increased them. The man that had two talents went out and did the same. But the third servant that only had one talent took it and hid it because he worried about it. He was afraid about it. He had all these doubts that we need to get out of our lives. What he needed to do was to have enough confidence in himself and faith in himself that he could do something, to take that talent and go out and use what God gave him and increase it. Along those same lines, we need to plan ahead and be good stewards of what God's given us, and we'll be doing our part to have peace of mind. A good text for this is Luke 14, verse 28. Starting in 28, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Well, this is kind of a financial consideration here it's talking about, and we can certainly relate to that. How many times have we gotten ourselves into a financial bind because we didn't plan right? You know, sometimes we get a big mortgage going that we're paying on, and then a couple of automobiles we're making payments on, and then we use several charge cards, and before you know it, a small hitch in our income or a big expense comes along, and we're in big trouble and about to lose what we already have. And we do well to learn to plan ahead and be good stewards of what God's given us, to do our part to have peace of mind. So in conclusion tonight, I believe we can say that to have peace of mind, we must rid ourselves of the guilt of sin, fear, worry, and doubt, and concentrate on the biblical principles of faith, prayer, and trust in God. We must have faith in ourselves and make wise decisions, but take the cares of this world that we can't affect and cast them upon God. I'd like to finish by reading from our text again, which I think really gives us the answer to the question, how can we have peace of mind? Philippians 4, starting in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. I appreciate your attention this evening, and I'll turn it over to Brother Bruce now.